Australia's most second populous state, Victoria, declared a state of disaster on Sunday, and they announced even stricter lockdown measures, including a nightly curfew and banning virtually all trips outdoors. Now, this came after it recorded 671 new infections in a single day, bringing the total to nearly 12,000 confirmed infections.
So, in addition, Victoria's State Premier Daniel Andrews said the state has 760 mystery cases where they can't trace the source. So, under the new restrictions, a curfew from 8 o'clock at night to 5 in the morning will be in place for 1.5 months, and that's going to bar the nearly 5 million people in basically the state from leaving their house except for work or to receive or to give care. Supermarkets will stay open though, with restaurant takeaways and delivery services, but some businesses that had previously not been forced to close will be asked to shut down.
Yeah, schools will also move to remote learning from Wednesday. So some big changes there, but this will no doubt have an impact on the Australian economy. But of course, the question is, how bad will this damage be? So for some thoughts on this, we have on the line with us Catherine Birch, Senior Economist at ANZ Research in Australia. Good morning, Catherine. Now, how does Victoria's state of disaster declaration and the new lockdown measures impact Australia's overall economic recovery?
Well, Victoria accounts for about 23% of the national economy and about 26% of the workforce as well. So obviously, the shutdown and restrictions in movement is going to have a very direct impact in Victoria itself. But across the rest of Australia, we're now expecting to see a slower economic recovery than we would otherwise for two key reasons. The first reason is a confidence effect. So people in other parts of the country seeing what's going on in Melbourne, worrying that it could happen in their town or city as well, which means that households might be a bit more cautious with their spending and businesses a bit more cautious about their investment and hiring intentions as well. The second channel of transmission is more of the direct economic effects. So things like reduced demand from Victoria and supply chain disruptions as well.
Yeah, Victoria, Catherine, how important is the consideration in terms of the duration of the lockdown and the behaviour of people?
I think that's one of the things that has been more of a challenge in this second lockdown in Victoria. So for the past 4 weeks, Victoria, or Melbourne in particular, had been under tighter restrictions than the rest of the country anyway. But we had seen less compliance with some of the requests this time compared with last time. So I think the human behaviour aspect really shouldn't be underestimated.
And I just want to get a sense of how important small businesses are in Victoria, for example, because this time under Stage 4, they're going to be more strict in terms of closures of restaurants and small businesses. So what kind of impact will that have on the overall economy? For example, like in Malaysia, SMEs contribute as much as 60% of our economy. What's it like in Australia?
It's definitely going to account for a big part of the reduction in economic activity, and small businesses employ a large share of the workforce as well. So with things like restaurants, we're still allowed to have takeaway in Victoria. So restaurants that had set up sort of online ordering last time may be sort of in a better position to get that up and running again this time. But then also construction. I mean, there are a lot of small businesses, particularly in residential construction in Victoria. And with the restrictions around construction, there'll only be 5 people allowed to work on one residential site at once. And there also will be reduced workforce allowed on site for other bigger projects as well. So that's likely going to see a lot of small business employees stood down, potentially some of them laid off as well. Which is why some of the fiscal measures that are still continuing, so the wage subsidy and the additional unemployment benefits, will be really important to supporting those workers through this tough period.
So from the perspective of the jobless numbers, Catherine, this lockdown, what's your sense of what the jobless numbers will be going forward and obviously the ramifications of the jobless people?
If we talk about the unemployment rate, that hasn't been a very good gauge of what's actually going on in the labour market during this period for all of Australia. One thing is that we've seen a wage subsidy introduced called JobKeeper. And if you're on JobKeeper, even if you're not working any hours, you're still counted as employed. There's also been a big fall in participation as well. So people who have been laid off have actually left the labour force rather than be defined as unemployed. But due to this tightening of restrictions, it is, of course, likely that we'll see higher unemployment than we would otherwise, and also actually a ongoing fall in employment rather than a continuing recovery that we'd seen in the June employment data.
So, Catherine, what can we expect from the Australian government to kind of revive the economy? What's left in their toolbox? Is it going to be another rate cut, or will there be more stimulus measures going forward?
I think the emphasis will really be on fiscal policy at the moment. So a couple of weeks ago, the government announced that they would be extending the wage subsidy as well as extending the supplement for unemployment benefits as well. So the wage subsidy has been extended until the end of March next year, albeit at reduced rates for workers, while the unemployment benefit supplement has been extended until the end of the year, but the government has said that that will likely come further as well. Yesterday, we saw the government announce that there would be a disaster payment of $1,500 Australian dollars per fortnight available for anyone who tests positive for COVID-19 and has to isolate and has no sick leave that they can use, whether they're a casual worker or if they've used it already. But we are likely to see additional fiscal measures announced, probably sooner rather than later, just to make sure that this deterioration going on in Victoria doesn't have too detrimental an impact.
Yeah, Catherine, I mean, not sure how close to the epicentre you are, but explain to us, why has there been a spike in cases despite the outwardly restrictive controls in the States?
I'm just going by what the health advice has been to us, but it does seem that it has been due to some people who were held in quarantine, so who arrived back in Victoria held in quarantine. And it's just come out from there. So, unfortunately, we're now seeing quite high numbers of positive cases in the community that we don't know where that COVID-19 has been transmitted from. So the Victorian government is calling these the mystery cases, and that's something that's quite worrying because it suggests that there's other transmission happening in the community that we don't know the full extent of. Which is why I think that there is really a justified need to move towards these tighter restrictions and restricting people's movements and reducing that risk of additional community transmission.
So, Catherine, very quickly, has this meant that you had to readjust or have to readjust your GDP forecast for Australia for this year and 2021 then?
Yes, it will. So, actually, we updated our forecast last week, which was very bad timing, as obviously these events have overtaken that. We're also seeing the Reserve Bank of Australia will be releasing its statement on monetary policy this Friday, which will also include a forecast update. So again, those forecasts will already have been overtaken by these events. But it does suggest that we're going to see a slower recovery in GDP as well as in employment for at least the second half of 2020.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Catherine Birch, Senior Economist with ANZ Research in Australia, telling us that the lockdown in Victoria will have quite severe ramifications to the Australian economy because it is the second most populous state. And there are concerns that this stage four lockdown will actually push a lot of small businesses that were already facing headwinds in stage three into, unfortunately, closure.
Yeah, there is no consequence that is exclusive to any one country. When you shut down the entire country, there will be ramifications, and what we are suffering in terms of unemployment and impact to footfall and restaurants at F&B and leisure will be the same thing in Australia. I guess what was a little bit strange was because when you analyse Australia, right, is one of the most, if not the least, densely populated countries in the world. Huge landmass, very few people per square kilometre, but it's not the same in Melbourne because Melbourne is a
second most
cosmopolitan city after all, right?
Yeah.
But then also, it also goes to show the limitations of contact tracing. Beyond a certain point, you cannot trace people and the virus any longer.
Yeah.
And it really does show the fact that we cannot get complacent about this disease, this virus.
Exactly. But up next, we'll be speaking to Ooi Lian Hin, President of the Shipping Association Malaysia on the shipping industry. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.